Hey everybody, and welcome to the show. I'm James, that's Katie, and that makes this the first ever episode 37 of Cloud Control. And man, not every day you get to open a show to talk about a Persona game, Kate, but that's where we find ourselves today, and this makes it already a fantastic, fantastic podcast.
Yes, and what's exciting about this Persona recap for us as well is I think this might be one of the only times where I'm actually ahead of you in a Persona game, because typically the roles are reversed and you're the Persona expert. But today I know something about Persona 3 that you do not.
This is true. Yeah, we're both on this. Well, we're on pretty even playing ground with Persona 3, I think. But you're a little bit further in the game than me. But let's get to the Persona in a second. I'll just lay the show up for everyone quickly at home before we get into that. Yes, we will be talking about our first kind of thoughts on Persona 3 Reload today. And then for the second half of the show, it is kind of the second sister episode to our last episode, which was our award show. This one is our predictions for 2024, which will be Kate and I going through 5 predictions each for things that will happen in gaming for this year, as well as recapping our predictions from last year, which is an exciting activity because we have made, as listeners from the show will know, a wager on who can be more accurate with their predictions. I believe, what is it, Kate? The winner has to is able to pick a game of $3 value or less that the other person is forced to play to review on the show.
Mm-hmm. This is correct. And so, yeah, I guess we'll go through our 5 predictions. In 2022, James, I beat you with a score of 2.
Oh, you wanted 2 out of 5, that's not good. Okay.
In 2022, that was how that went down. And I will tell you that our showing for 2023 has been worse.
Oh my God. Okay. Well, we're going to leave that to the end of the show because we're going to start off talking about Persona 3 Reload, but that's just a tease for later. But I can't wait. We got to talk about Persona because this has been a long time coming. Actually, I've been quoted on this show, I think like probably some of our more, original episodes, is saying like, oh, I'm going to definitely play Persona 3 Portable on my Vita, which has been an intention of mine for a long time, you know, after playing 5 and 5 Royal and 4 Golden and all that. And then lo and behold, 3 Reload got announced and here we are playing it finally. So this is a cool game because it's Persona 3 is basically like where Persona became Persona now. Like the first two really were more along the lines of Shin Megami Tensei, whereas 3 was the first one that sort of introduced the social link system and being a high school student and living that life is the simulation part alongside the dungeon exploring, which is cool. And so 3 Reload essentially is a modernized version of what the originals were. There's been a few different versions of Persona 3, but this is really like, hey, what if Persona 3 existed in a Persona 5 styled universe, you know, with the fully voice acted cutscenes and the animated cutscenes and all this, you know, the style and the music and the battle system. All those types of new mechanics. So, yeah, that's kind of the background on the game. But I don't know, Kate, where do you want to start? What do you think of Persona so far? I think it's safe to say that we've both been having a great time with the game in the starting hours.
Yeah, absolutely. I just think it's fantastic. Like, I know there's a lot of maybe criticism to be said about games that have, like, a million different versions and, you know, you're encouraged to buy the game multiple times, whatever. But I do really love how accessible Atlas makes it to play some of these older games, because I fell in love with Persona 5 when I played it, but I think like I went back to 4 and I really do still intend to beat 4, and I guess there's Golden now and whatever, it's accessible, it's on PC, but I didn't end up beating it and I found that like just some of the mechanics didn't click with me as much as Persona 5, and I think it's really nice to have an older game like this, like, updated, just with a little bit more, like, accessibility, a little bit more quality of life features, just things that, like, maybe would have existed in the series, but just were more, like, limitations at the time, and so it's kind of, like, breathing life back into a game that I wouldn't necessarily have gotten to experience before,
Or you would have had to slog through some older inconveniences in order to experience what you wanted to get out of it, right?
Exactly. And I think like Persona, like, you know, it is the combat system of 5, although there's some new things which we can touch on because they are unique to Persona 3. And I'm really like kind of almost wondering why they're not in 5 because they're such great mechanics. But that whole system of like being able to control your party members, and how tactical you go through the dungeons and how you approach every single fight, like that, I really think that I would maybe have struggled to play it if I was just controlling just the protagonist character. Because, you know, we all played those games and it's like, oh, that guy's like, he's wasted all his mana. I was down like 5 health. Why did you heal me, you idiot?
Or yeah, like, or like, well, why did you waste all your mana killing that guy who was at 2% health when you could have saved it for later
exactly.
on?
You know? It's like, oh, you know, this is an easy enemy. We don't have to use our mana. We can just like go in with our swords and whatever. And but there's none of that. It's also really neat, I think, to go back and see, like, I think it's cool. I've sort of had this revelation, and it must be really interesting for people who have played the series more like in release order, because I think there's so much that like I see of Persona 5's DNA in this game. And I think especially with your companion characters, they get kind of these like similar archetypes, right? Like I met Junpei and it's like, oh, that's the Ryuji of this game, right? Of course. And like Yukari is like, oh, that's Chie, or that's you know, again in Persona 5. And I think it's really, or it's like Anne, and I think it's really neat how like that must like that like Persona vibe is so strong between each game. And yeah, I'm experiencing it on like Rewind, but to see like a new game come out and you see a character and you're like, oh, that's the Junpei, like Ryuji is not, it's not that Junpei is Ryuji, it's that Ryuji is Junpei.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's interesting because you can almost play them interchangeably. Like it's kind of like, you know, Black Mirror. It's an anthology, you know, like what they're not based on each other, but they all have maybe some tissue that's connected between them. You know, it's the similar, being in that similar high school setting, you know, and there's all different confidants and different characters around the school that you can talk to. And this time, you know, the school store sells different food inside and there's less selections, for example. But it's the same idea, you know, it's that comfy, cozy Persona feeling that you get starting to play this game is kind of how I've felt, at least. And it's interesting you bring up the characters first before the battle system, because that's where my mind goes as well with Persona. And so far, I would say, like, as far as the cast of characters in this game goes, I've really been enjoying like the vibe as a whole. Like it's quite a dark game in terms of its theming and in with like the Persona and supernatural stuff, but in terms of the characters, like it's quite upbeat. Everyone's having a good time for the most part, but I wouldn't say I love any of the characters yet. I think it's a great cast, but I think right now it's kind of a homogenous, like they're all good, but no one's really spoken to me very deeply yet. Whereas in 5 and even 4, you know, I found like certain characters were just very, very endearing and you get to know them very quickly. And in this game, I feel like everyone's a bit more of their archetype still at this point in the game. And that might be a bit more of an unfair criticism because we only are, I don't know about what you would say, maybe 25-ish hours in, maybe that, so, or so.
I am 21 hours and you are 18 hours.
18. Okay.
So based on what Game Pass is telling me here.
But, wow, you got official data. Very nice.
I've been crunching that. I put a timer on every time I sit down. I pause it if I go to make some tea, you know, it's very official. But yeah, I have the same feeling, and I'm not being too critical right now because like you said,
it's in progress.
I also think too that we were kind of touching base before we started recording about where we both were in the game. And I think we've kind of agreed, we feel like we're at the end of like what would be sort of the tutorial of the game. We both have Fuka in our party now. And so that kind of solidifies the way that the group goes into Tartarus. We have like an extra person we can kind of swap out, make a team with. We have what seems to be like sort of like the core mechanics available to us in the battle system. Who knows, maybe there's something, another thing in 20 hours, which would be awesome, but it feels quite cohesive. It feels like we got a lot of options of things to do in the free time. And I kind of feel like, especially where I am, I have one more additional cutscene that kind of like feels like it's setting the story a little bit more in motion. And I think we're kind of through the tutorial. So I think there's like room for characters maybe to grow and spend a bit more time with your main party members. Whereas in 5, you get to spend time with your party members, I think, a little bit more quickly. So that also
changes it a little bit as well. And the interesting, too, in both 5 and 4 is your party grows slowly over time. So you get your protagonist mm-hmm. to form, you know, a pretty good relationship quite quickly with the first couple of people that join the party because they're the only ones that are really around to talk to. Whereas in this game, your party is naturally already, I think, 5 people. Once you join, the group is C's, you know, you're the Phantom Thieves in 5. In this game, you're the SEES. I think it stands, mm-hmm. what is it, the Specialized, mm-hmm. I got it here, Specialized Extracurricular Execution Squad, the C's.
Could you imagine going to your school and to the principal and being like, I'd like to start this club?
Yeah, don't ask.
And that's what it's called. They would... You know, okay. There's the chess club, there's the book club, and
yeah. we might have to get special signatures for this one.
I mean, I guess he's involved, so you know, there's that. But I agree with you said though, like none of the characters are really stood out. I don't dislike any of them, but there's not that like one character that or two characters that you know I really love. But I have seen, with trying to avoid spoilers, I have seen people online being like, okay, we got to decide like who's the best, like, this archetype character, and, like, they're all in the running for certain people, so.
Sure, and it depends, I think it's flavor of the day, right? Some of it comes down to who did you know first. Like, I think there's always going to be a special spot for those P5 characters just for that reason, but.
Yeah, I just feel like you said, though, they're a little bit more, like, stock standard, a little bit more, like, on the trope, as opposed to, I felt, kind of a little bit more nuance for some of the newer characters. But again, it's, you know, they're 2 games ahead in terms of how they've been writing these characters. And also, you know, we have, if there's anything to go by with typical Persona games, another 100 hours of gameplay.
That's true. And that's a good point, too, you make about, like, you know, this is Persona 3, after all. They didn't rewrite the game. P Studio obviously has evolved as a writing team and a game making studio since this game originally came out. Like there's a reason the newer games are building off of this as well, in terms of writing and everything. Mm-hmm. But
I will say one last thing on the characters though, that I think this cast of characters have the coolest base weapons when you go into Tartarus. Got like the bow, which is very cool.
Rapier is pretty cool when you get that one.
Rapier is cool. Mm-hmm. You got like the boxer who just goes in, he's gonna punch shadow demons to death. I think that the overall the weapons are very, very cool. So I will give that award to Persona 3 so far. And I'm pretty sure we're gonna get a dog. And that is awesome.
I agree. I think we're gonna get a dog too.
Yes.
What's his name? Mochi-chan or something like that?
Koromaru, yeah. He's been hanging outside our clubhouse. So, I mean, if we don't adopt the dog, and like, you meet him in the cutscene, it's like, oh, this is a sad stray dog. We're like, well, okay, bye, dog. Hope you're not sad. Like, just leave him on the street.
This isn't going to be some throwaway line that never gets brought, you know, come back to you, like in the room or something like that.
Maybe, but like we don't have a mascot character, right? Like we don't have a Teddy, we don't have a Morgana yet. Like we're gonna adopt this dog and it's gonna be fantastic.
So speaking of the weapons that you brought up, let's talk a little bit about like the battle system itself. You've also mentioned Tartarus and that for the Uninitiated. That's like the dungeon system of this game. It's kind of a fusion of, I guess, what you'd call palaces and just the regular dungeon. Like it's kind of just one.
Mementos.
Like just one entity in this game. But it's kind of nice they've changed it, at least like it's themed quite differently when you get to the different sections of the floors at least. But pretty standard to explore around the area itself, I would say. It's kind of the same gameplay where you're running around through the hallways. You can avoid the shadows, which are, it's not random battles. You can hit them in the back to get initiative in battle, and you can kind of, you know, search around for chests and different pickups and whatnot in there. But this is the Persona battle system. What can you say? Like it's got some minor tweaks compared to the other games, but overall it's this tried and true system that is just, it's just as fun as ever. Like what can you say? It's snappy to control. The menu is just, you click through it, easy breezy, like you know where your buttons are. One thing that they've tweaked in this game that is very cool, and you mentioned her earlier, Fuka, the navigator in this game, it's very cool the way you actively get to scan enemies in this now. Like she has her MP bar and you're like, okay, I'm gonna spend some of her MP to scan this enemy instantly for this battle and see their weakness. And that's actually, I think, saved me a few times already, because there's, you know, sometimes when you're getting low on MP in a dungeon and you're like, right, I can probably pull this one out, but like, let me just use my attacks and try and save some MP or whatever. And, you know, I found that she's really saved me sometimes, because instead of having to like trial and error what an enemy's weakness is, I can just scam what it is and not have to waste the MP on my characters to, you know, kind of conserve it that way. I really like the ability to kind of pick that and choose that. It makes her feel more interactive too, because if I had one complaint about like Futaba, for example, in Persona 5, it's just like, you don't ever get to do anything with her. You know, it's you, it's like when you were saying before in those older games, when you can't control your party, you feel kind of helpless. It would be nice to be interactive with her. And I like that you get that little bit of control over Fuka in the battle system here too.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think Fuka is a really neat addition. I think that leads us into maybe the other mechanic that the battle system has that is not present in the other games, at least from what I've experienced. Yeah. And I think it's a fantastic mechanic. And that is the Theurgy. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think it's Theurgy. And it's new for this version too. It didn't exist in any prior Persona 3 iterations. It was designed specifically for this
game. I think that is a fantastic inclusion, and I would like to see it like going forward into Persona 6 even. And so this is like a special, kind of like almost like an ultimate ability might work in a lot of other video games, where you have like kind of like a bar, like a gauge that fills up, and then once it's filled, you have like a powerful ability that then would go on with the gauge, would then get closed or like shut, and it would have to like refill up. So you can't use it all the time. You got to be intentional about when you want to use this ability. But I find that like they're such good get out of jail free cards sometimes. They're really good game changers. Like it might be like a big party heal, or it might be something like one target really like strong damage on one target, or it might be more of like a big AoE ability that does damage to all the enemies on the field. And they're usually like theme to the typing that each character uses. And then, but what I find is really neat about it is like, I think I haven't played with it too much, but I think it does slowly kind of just charge over time as you battle. But each person has a specific condition that you can do to make it charge more quickly. So for example, like one character, I think it's Junpei, charges his when he like gets a critical or like knocks an enemy down. And then Takaba charges hers when she like heals someone in battle. And so like it adds this little extra layer of like kind of doing things, not only just what's best for you in that specific battle, but there's also times where I'm like, okay, my character can heal as well, but I'm going to wait a turn to see if Takaba can heal instead, because she'll also charge her bar, and then that will be like overall more beneficial. But then, you know, maybe that's like a risk because I'm waiting to heal instead of healing now. And it just adds this like extra little mechanic. And then when you do finally decide to use those abilities, they feel so incredibly good and helpful.
I agree. And yeah, I don't know if it charges over time. And I will admit that I haven't been overly intentional about, you know, like, oh, I'm really going to pay attention and fill this up right now. But I've kind of had that mentality of, oh, this bar has been full for a while, I'm going to really save it. It's like a get out of jail free. But I really like having it in that functionality. And I can definitely see in, you know, some of the more tougher boss fights, because, you know, right now, a lot of the fights are you're kind of breezing through, you know what the weakness is, you down everyone, all of attack, bang, bang, boom, like you're done, right? But in later on in the game, you know, some of those longer, more drawn out boss fights, I'm sure it's going to be crucial to like, okay, who's got the most effective Theurgy for this boss fight? How am I going to charge it up? How am I going to keep them alive while I get them powered up for that? You know, I really like the idea of that. I just hope it gets implemented in that way. I will say for the gameplay, and it's something that I've thought all along, is like, I really noticed that you don't have a gun ever since playing, especially Persona 5 Royal, just to have that extra variety of like basic attack or gun or persona move. It's a nice kind of trilogy of things that you can do. I just feel a little bit limited having that removed. On the cover art of the game for Persona 3 Reload, I'm looking at it right now, the main character is holding a pistol like he has a gun. They all have a pistol because they have to shoot themselves in the head to use their persona. I guess it's a fake pistol, but come on, like, it's just a nice extra wrinkle to have in the battle system.
They were fake pistols in Persona 5 as well. They just turned into real guns when you get inside the palace. So
good point.
Technically, okay. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, a small critique, right? It would revolve. Yeah. I'm sure there's a lot of balancing that would have to go into like adding another method of attack and whatnot. It just, I don't know. That's the one thing I'm missing.
I think honestly, the main reason they don't, like, they wouldn't want to put that in is because, like, there is Pierce in Takeba's, like, main attack. Like, her bow is a Pierce weapon. And I think that counts for, like, the guns were the same type of damage. And so, like, when it comes to an enemy that has Pierce, it's like, that's Takeba's job. And then if everybody had a gun, it'd be like, well, yeah, nice, cute bow you brought, but...
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess you can't throw everything in, and, you know, maybe that's too many things on top of also having the theurgy system. And maybe that's, like, you know, you can only, it's like that, like, guy in the infomercial that's, like, got those limes and you just can't hold them all. Like, you know, I guess the point where there's just too many things, and then you stop using mechanics, and it's like, well, you know, why is it in there, right? It's bloated. So far I think it's really interesting. The other thing I want to say about those moves is the animations on them are awesome. Like, it is really cool just to have kind of a, like fancy move you get to use every now and again that just throws a character back into, like, a cool persona, stylish little, like, cutscene, kind of like an all-out attack sort of deal. And I think Persona 3, if we can move on to that section of it now, is, like, gorgeous. I mean, of course it's gorgeous.
It's gorgeous.
It's a Persona game. But I love the style of this. It's obviously very, very different from Persona 5, but, like, the menus are just that, like, I don't know, that, like, crystal sea foamy blue, and the way it's kind of got, like, a piece to it. Like, I think Persona 5 was very, and Persona 4 as well, they're very, like, bold colors, and I think they're very, like, almost aggressive, like, in your face, like, really, like, strong.
Yeah, like, that red and black in Persona 5 is quite striking, and, you know, it's almost, you could almost describe it as difficult to look at in a certain sense, even though it is very pleasing the way they present it.
Yeah, and, like, I love it, and I think Persona 5, the package was my favorite, but I think it's the music is doing a lot of heavy lifting for Persona 5, but I think 3 just has this, like, kind of a little more elegant sort of look to it, and I really enjoy that. But then it's tied into this, like, kind of almost, like, the music's a bit harsher, like, it's got this, like, this rap kind
it's
of
like
soundtrack.
It's like street music almost, like, yeah, the rap.
So it's, like, kind of almost, like, reverse, where it looks a bit softer, but the sound is a little bit, like, dirtier. But I just love it. Like, I will leave the min, like, that's probably, like, why some of my game time is just like, oh, I'm gonna go make some tea, but I've, like, left the game on so I can listen to it as I go.
I'm with you. My favorite thing about this game style wise is the way the days pass and the days tick by in that diagonal way, and, like, the, you know, the next one's coming down, you can see the phase of the moon, and just the color contrast they have between, like, that darker blue and the lighter one, and, like, the white, and then the yellow they use to highlight that is just very visually pleasing. And even even, you know, as the days are passing and it goes, like, afternoon and then it says evening, and the clock hands, like, come down, that looks super cool as well. They just have this way they present information in these Persona menus, and they're just so minimal and so well designed that you just completely understand what you're looking at. There's barely any words on any of them. You just see the information you need. Like, you know, when you're leveling up your social stat, it just says, like, courage, charm, intelligence, bing, bang, like, 1, 2, 3. Why am I doing all these weird words today? What's going on?
Because clearly you're hungry for a Big Bang Burger.
What's the name of the burger place in this place? The chicken shop? I can't remember.
I don't know. It's not as good as Big Bang Burger, because I call it Big Bang Burger is the problem. That's right. And it's not.
Yeah.
Have you completed it? I've completed
it. No, I haven't. I've barely been eating the chicken burger. I got to go and do it. I've been slacking on my burger eating in this game. I've been playing really on my computer at home.
You've been going to the URL cafe, guys.
So we have to talk about the greatest NPC in video game history.
Okay. This is true. We did kind of say the characters were not as... We don't love them as much as 5 yet, but James has correctly identified the best character in all of video gaming, so please tell us about it.
So in Persona 3, there's this place you can go. It's a nightclub, and you can go there. There's actually one thing we didn't mention earlier, but there's actually 2 confidants you can spend time with in the evening in this game, which is very cool and something that I don't think is in 4 or 5. to my recollection.
I've had the sun guy. I think he maybe gives one. Speeches at night. But yeah, maybe, it's unusual. But
anyway, it's very unusual. There's two of them in this game. One of them I've yet to meet, but the other one I've gotten. It's really cool to have that to do in the evening sometimes. You feel a lot more productive. But when you're going to this nightclub where you meet one of the confidants, you can also go down to this other table kind of in the back corner, and there's this shady looking guy. You kind of hear about him from some rumor around town, and he's like, "Hey kid, you want to come over here? I've got the good stuff, you know?" And he like opens his jacket or whatever, his little duffel bag, and what's he got inside? What's he selling? Is it drugs? No. Is it booze or cigarettes for underage kids? No. This dude's selling pieces of paper with URLs on them. And you're going to take them home and type them into your computer and see.
And they're not even for like deep dark web, like classified websites either. It's like all kids, like, you want to play like this game on Newgrounds?
Like, yeah, exactly. You know, like, this game came out in 2006. I'll say I was around in 2006. And I don't think anyone was writing URLs down. And if you were, like, if you were making money off that, power to you, because that is some damn good marketing. So URL.
In a nightclub.
In a nightclub. So I love that guy so much. He's nameless. I don't think he actually has a name. He's just like shady looking man. In the end of this year, when we're doing our awards for best character, URL guy. It's done.
He's already won. Let's say that is a bonus prediction for the episode, that URL guy is the best NPC of 2024.
I like it. Man, that's a good note. Is there anything else you want to talk about with Persona 3? I think we'll probably be checking back in as we play more, because it's 200 hours long, but
yeah, I think we'll play a little bit more. We'll leave it. The only kind of thing we didn't really touch on so far was the story, but I think we kind of just have the vague premise right now. And like you said, it's dark, there's coffins, there's this like dream hour. That's actually really cool. I like the premise of it a lot. It kind of reminds me a bit more of 4 than of 5.
I agree. Yeah, it's very 4, similar to 4.
Yeah, and it's this like hour that happens after midnight, or at midnight each night, and there's an hour that like most people can't experience.
It's like time pauses for a split second between like that split second when it turns midnight, and then certain people, of which you're one, can experience this bonus hour where crazy things happen.
Yeah, but this is where like the shadows come out and they sometimes like terrorize people, or they take them into the hour, kind of like how people go into the TV in 4. And there's just this kind of like really dark, like dangerous, scary, like people turn into coffins if they don't wake up during this hour. Like it's just a really creepy kind of atmosphere. And obviously like this is one of the main mysteries, and that's when we can go into Tartarus, which is this like just this massive looming tower, and it's where the school normally is. And so that's, you know, probably not a coincidence. And
you don't say.
So it's cool, but I think maybe next time we play we'll have a little more.
Yeah, we'll some more on some theories and where we think it's going and everything. We'll do like a midpoint check-in maybe, but yeah. That will maybe close us out on Persona 3 for now. Everyone should go play that. If you have Game Pass, you have really no excuse other than maybe the time commitment, but there you go. Kate, it's time to move into the predictions part of the show for today. So like we said at the top of the show, we're going to quickly recap our predictions from last year, see who won our little competition, and then get into our 2024 video game predictions. Kate, I'll let you take it away with a recap.
Okay, so I'm going to recap our predictions. I'll do yours first, just because on the left side. And that's, you know, as arbitrary as you can possibly get. So a quick rundown of our 5 predictions for 2023, where your first guess was a VR game will be nominated for Game of the Year, but it doesn't have to win. And to my knowledge, that did not happen.
Didn't happen.
I think we clarified it was specifically like a VR game, not a game that like Resident Evil that just comes to VR later. So unfortunately, a lot of great games of 2023.
I think I was holding out hope at the start of the year for PSVR to be, you know, have something on it, but no.
But unfortunately, no. Next up, you said that Game Pass will get its first criticism and it will increase its price. Maybe $5 to $10. It's still going to be a good deal. But to balance this out, they will give one of two excuses. One, that PC Game Pass is matching the console. And two, that the partner they will give to soften the blow, they're going to give a partnership with a sports streaming service.
Hey, that's not crazy.
And people aren't going to like that. Mm. So when going through this, I thought to give you maybe a half point on this because Game Pass did actually increase its price in 2023.
Okay. They just didn't soften the blow. So I would just be
they didn't
nice.
Soften the blow. We just had to eat it. So
see, y'all would like that sports streaming service now.
Well, I know. We laughed at you back last year, but imagine if I could be paying extra for Game Pass and not watching football still. So there we go. So it's a half point. So your next one is Persona 6 will be announced, and it's going to be set in America, which would be quite shocking. But even more shocking, we've still heard nothing about Persona.
It's in a race with Hollow Knight.
Well, I think Persona's going to win. Come on.
I do too.
So next up, we have a new 3D Mario game, like an Odyssey, potentially like an Odyssey sequel. Less worlds overall and an open world zone idea where you play as characters from the movie, such as Luigi, Toad, Peach, or Donkey Kong. Mario for most of the game, but other playable characters.
That's a dope prediction. Too bad it's not true.
That's a hella good prediction. I'd like to carry that on for 2024, but Mario Wonder, I think, was the big one, and I don't think that quite what you've described. And then finally, this seems like a prediction you really wanted to be true. And that is that Insomniac's Wolverine is going to be a more story-driven than the rest of their studio. And you've even outlined a gradient where Ratchet is the least story, then Spider-Man, and then Wolverine.
Oh, that's a good gradient. I love gradients, everyone, if you listen to the show.
And you said it might be akin to something like a Naughty Dog game, and then in brackets, maybe he hangs out with Nightcrawler.
It all sounds great, but I guess
that
not.
Sounds, mm-hmm. That sounds fantastic. Unfortunately, I haven't seen the two of them together yet. So.
Well, Nightcrawler teleports. He's hard to find.
That's okay, true. So maybe that'll continue on. So
I've got half a point here. This is great. Okay.
Half a point.
Okay.
Now, how is your confidence level going into reading my predictions?
I mean, I gotta think one of us will at least get one of our predictions right. So I gotta think that you're gonna win. But at the same time, like, zero is on the table for both of us. So I'll say you win. Let's see.
All right. Let's see how I do. So my first one was the Game of the Year winner will be an indie studio. And the qualifications for that being that they've never won before. And also it is not a full price game. It is a smaller scale game. I don't think anyone could describe Baldur's Gate 3 as a smaller scale game.
I do not think so.
So
nice try.
Unfortunate. My next one, because I often like to do a anniversary prediction, is that it was Spyro's 25th anniversary. And we would get a brand new Spyro announcement with an open zone game, kind of like a hub area, and then sort of like open zones you go out. And I said, unfortunately, one of the areas will have a skateboarding minigame. So no point, but I am saved from having to skateboard.
Interesting. We both had an open world kind of prediction. You know, yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's not a bad guess. Third, of course, I went for my second year in a row of predicting that Persona 6 will get announced and it will be purple in color scheme.
Yes.
And spoilers for our upcoming predictions for the year, because that's still on the table. Then I put, which I think was like such a good, these last two, man, I wish they were true, is that Red Dead Redemption would get a TV show announcement, because my God, there were a lot of TV show announcements in 2023. And I still think that Red Dead Redemption is like the best franchise to take. But they haven't followed me up on that one.
Uh-huh.
And then finally, my last chance at a point is that Gurm worked with the From Software for Elden Ring, and Brandon Sanderson, another famous fantasy author, wrote for another, that weird like mini game. And so I said Stephen King would help write for a brand new horror game.
Oh God.
And
not yet. Not that we know about anyways. That's too bad.
So with a grand total of 0.5 of a point, you are our 2023.
All right. A well-deserved and well-earned victory. Wow.
Absolutely. I think we made fantastic predictions, and I would love for them to be true. Unfortunately, the only one that actually came true was your sad one about Game Pass just being more money. The one bad thing.
Oh, man. Okay, well, let's try and do better this year. So for next time on the show, at the start of the episode, we will announce the game that I am making sure Kate plays it sometime this year to talk about on the show for $3 or less. So that'll be great.
I will happily buy it.
All right, perfect. So the same wager is on the table for our predictions this year as well. Just to run down the rules, I think I'll cover them here. Let me know if I miss anything, Kate. It's pretty straightforward. We each make 5 predictions for the upcoming year, which is defined as ending on the 31st of 2024, December. The predictions cannot be like stupidly gimme obvious, like Nintendo will announce a Pokemon game. Like that's going to happen every year. We can't predict something like that.
In fact, they already have
exactly.
This year.
I think if someone makes a prediction that is kind of weak, we can maybe add like a couple conditions or something to it. But overall, it's pretty straightforward. We're pretty lenient. Yeah. We're just here to have some fun. And we try to let them range from, you know, it's pretty reasonably could happen to like having something that's kind of out there. And, you know, more for the laughs and just to see next year as the little fun time capsule to where our brains were at. Is there anything else I was missing, Kate, or do you want to get started?
No, I think that's perfect. I think you should just hit us off with your first prediction.
Sounds great. And I should say, just before we start, if you want to let us know your predictions for the upcoming year, you can do so at cloudcontrolpod@proton.me. Let us know. We'll read them out on the upcoming mailbag. And if you score more points to Kate and I on the upcoming year, then maybe you too can earn some kind of prize from us. So that'll be great. Okay, I'll get us started off. Thank you for the, you know, the kickoff round here. So, okay, I'll go with my first one. I'm going to start off predicting about Persona 6 as well, because we both had Persona predictions last time. I think it's kind of an ongoing thing for us, so let's get it out of the way. Here's my Persona prediction. We both go with a color. I think Persona's going to come out, but I'm adding 3 conditions to my prediction, and I want to know, do you think I need to get 1 or 2 of them right to be considered correct? But let me know after I tell you what they are, because they might be too basic. Okay, the color, it's going to be like a dark green kind of tone.
I would like that. Like a British racing green.
Or yes, like a darker kind of emerald green kind of tone.
Mm-hmm. I hope so.
There's going to be a female protagonist. Not going to be optional. It'll be female only protagonist. Okay. And the third condition I'm going to add on to it is, you know how there's usually like a theming around Persona where it's like, oh, they're going into the TV and there's murders, or like, you know, there's adults controlling the world. The theming in Persona 6 is going to be aliens and space and like how maybe aliens are living amongst people or something like that. And you have to use your personas to like figure out who's an imposter. That's my
that would be really fun. Now that sounds incredible. I'm gonna ask, is it still set in America? As you
know, I'm taking that out. It's Japan. Nope. That's good. I didn't remember making that prediction until you said it out loud, but now that I'm hearing it again, like, that's cool, but this is a Japanese series, so no. Japan.
That is fantastic. I hope you're right. What's funny is that I have also obviously made a Persona prediction, and I, for 2 years in a row, just said purple. Just Persona 6, purple. Doesn't count if it's a different color, and I'm sticking with purple. But I thought for this year, I should add something to it, kind of raise the stakes on my prediction. And interestingly enough, the thing I added to it was a female protagonist.
Really?
Instead of it's been a male protagonist every single time, always a lot of really good you know, supporting cast of female characters. But I thought, you know what, this time we're going to get a female protagonist. So I didn't say anything about aliens, but if you really need me to throw something out, you know, maybe.
Yeah, throw something out. This is exciting. Let's have dueling Persona predictions and see who can get more details right.
Think of something cool.
That's the way to do it.
We've done a lot of murder mysteries. We've done some political corruption. You know, we've done, like, in our own heart of hearts, we need to see change in people. And so I'm going to say that this next Persona is going to tackle a climate crisis in some way or another.
Okay, cool. I like it. That's not that ridiculous, honestly. It's not. Like, it is something they would talk about potentially. That's cool. Okay, dueling Persona predictions. Let's see who can get more details right on their prediction. To clarify, I'm not saying it's coming out this year. I'm just saying we're going to get an announcement of it. Like, these are just the details we'll see and be able to kind of glean from what we see in the game.
I agree. I think we're going to get a cool Persona trailer, and then it'll, you know, come out whenever it's going to come out. But
Cool. Yeah. Cool. Prediction one in the books. I guess that's you and me, so it's back to me now, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay, so my first non-Persona prediction. So Sony made a statement about not releasing any major PS5 games exclusive in 2024. So their biggest franchises, you know, Spider-Man, Last of Us, all those, there's not going to be any games for these franchises in 2024. But that doesn't mean they're not going to talk about some of them to come out next year. So I'm going to predict that there's going to be, at some point this year, a new trailer and kind of maybe an update on Tsushima 2. We're going to see some, you know, maybe a breakdown of the game. And the biggest thing that they're going to highlight will be something like an expanded use of the weather in the game. Because the wind was such an interesting component of the original Tsushima, and the environments themselves were, you know, maybe the coolest part of the game, just the way that environment worked. And I think that, you know, game studios have gotten so good at like, oh, it's dynamically raining now in this area of the map. Mm-hmm. So I wonder what that could mean in terms of like new skills for Jin. Like, is it easier to be stealthy in the rain? Can you cover yourself in mud? You know, if it's really hot out, are things dry? Can you like light some leaves on fire or something like that? Like just environmentally generative scenarios and like more ways to use the weather in Tsushima 2. It's kind of my prediction.
Really cool. That sounds like a really natural progression for the game, like just in terms of things that like I physically would see them add. That would be exciting. This could be a cool year. We got like the Tsushima show that's been announced.
I feel like it's a good year because we're getting a lot of these Japanese things. It's obviously always a very popular setting, but there's that new, you know, Ronin show coming, and there's that Assassin's Creed game that's supposed to be coming, whatever it's called. And so like this might be a cool trailer to throw out at some point and get people excited for a sequel.
I think you've taken a very smart, interesting, and grounded approach to a game. I have gone in a completely other chaotic direction. I've said, so I think I was writing this list out, and I had the purple in my head from Persona still. And I was also thinking about how, like, probably going to get an announcement for the new Switch Pro or the new Nintendo console, whatever. A lot of rumors about that, and I was thinking kind of Nintendo brain, kind of purple. And what if you put purple and Nintendo together? Logical conclusion is Waluigi. And it's 2024. Waluigi doesn't have a game yet. We just like a new Peach game just came out, like, you know, kind of giving some, we've had Captain, you know, mining Uncharted Toad. And
I love where this is going. Keep going.
We have never had a Waluigi game. And like, it's an injustice that everyone is aware of. You know, every year I think people get more conscious about making the world a better place and righting some of these wrongs that we've committed in the past. And so finally, what I'm getting at is Waluigi is going to get his first ever game where he stars in it. And I think, I don't know what genre of game it will be, but I think one of the core mechanics is that it's going to be a roguelike. But the progression is going to come because the main thing we know about Waluigi is he's a big cheater. Like, that's his like core thing. He's like, wah, everybody cheats but me.
He's like, I can reach across the entire tennis court. You cannot score.
Yeah. He's a big cheater. And so I think it would be cool if it was a roguelike, but like your main progression isn't that you get stronger. Like, you don't get more health. You don't get more like defense, more damage. You just get mechanics you unlock that make you better at cheating at the game, which in turn makes your runs easier to accomplish. So whatever you're doing, whether it's like an action platformer or a card game or like whatever else it could be, you just unlock skills that let you like cheat the systems of the game a little bit more.
Okay.
Maybe you don't get more health, but maybe you don't get more damage, but enemies get less health because you've cheated them into having, you know, less health, and that accomplishes the similar kind of thing.
Okay. This is a great prediction because I love the idea that you're not at all predicting what type of game this could be. It could be any gameplay. It doesn't matter. The prediction is that Waluigi likes to cheat. That's cool. I really like it. What a great concept. I think it's just crazy enough that Nintendo themselves could come up with it. So I hope it happens. I would buy this game. That'd be fun.
Everyone would buy this game. It's perfect.
Just like Waluigi himself.
Exactly. The long-limbed man himself.
I hope that the purple theme continues throughout all of your predictions. Everything is just purple.
We just do a few quick rewrites. You go quickly.
Okay. Let me just speed up. It's funny because the next prediction I have is actually, you could argue, green, just like my Persona prediction. I have an Xbox Game Pass prediction because apparently that's an annual thing that I do as well. I totally forgot that I predicted that last year. I did not go through and look at what we did. So this is interesting because I've gone a different route this year. So my prediction is that they're going to be changing around some of the tiers in Game Pass this year. I don't know about the price. I'm not predicting that. But what I am predicting is they're going to be introducing a free tier to Game Pass as one of the tiers. They're going to be introducing like a three-tiered system. It's going to be Ultimate, which is like if you have it, you got Game Pass, you got everything. Middle tier is like pick what you have. Do you have a computer? Do you have an Xbox? Do you have it on your TV? Like where do you want to buy Game Pass? Do you want it just on your phone for xCloud and the mobile games? Where are you using it? And then the free option will be you can install it on any of the devices and you'll get like the game of the month on that platform. It could be, I don't know how that would work, if it would be different across like what you get on your TV versus your computer. But the point is that, you know, every year you hear nothing but Xbox Game Pass is coming to consoles, coming to everything, getting on your smart TV app, it's on your phone, it's on coming to your Switch. You're hearing all about this. They want it everywhere. And so I think it would be the next step to making that a reality of making people actually use it would be to give them something to do on it. People aren't necessarily going to, you know, redeem the free trial of their Xbox if they're not a gamer. But if they come and it's installed, it's already there, it's got a game ready to go, maybe they will give it a try on their TV depending on like what the game is of that month. Maybe it's a branded Indiana Jones game that's coming out from apparently from Xbox one year, like along with the movie, and that entices people. I don't know. But the point is, giving things away for free gets people in the door, and that's what they're always looking for, and it makes too much sense not to at least have this for a little bit. So I'll say there's a free tier coming to Game Pass, which is, I don't know, kind of weird that they have never had that, to be honest, but that's just
Yeah, that's what I was thinking as you were saying, because there's a lot of, like, you can get a lot of free games, right? Like, I'm thinking of something like Epic, where, like,
exactly,
you know, consistently they're just giving you free stuff all the time, and you know, like, there isn't really, like you said, yeah, like, different levels to it in terms of what you get. Like, even, like, Nintendo has different tiers for their online, right? It's like, you get the N64 games and whatever, and it's like, they're pretty stark, which I guess is kind of nice, because it's just nice that you get what you get, but at the same time, you're right that, like, a free tier would definitely entice people to...
I mean, it's the kind of thing that you and I would never think about using the free tier, because we would just, like, either play the game somewhere else or we'd have the service. But I think for when you just think about the swaths of normies out there, like, you know, our mom and stepdad just bought a new TV. They don't really play Xbox, but if there happened to be an Xbox app on there with, like, you know, they're really into F1, if that happened to be the game of the month when they just happened to buy their TV, you're damn sure they're going to play it and check that game out, and maybe then all of a sudden, you know, they might get into Game Pass because there's like an NHL game on there or something else. Like, there are routes where that would be beneficial.
Yeah, absolutely. Or even, like you said, like, there's so many different, like, platforms and places to play as well right now, right? Like, maybe you are into games, but you just never have used Xbox as a platform, and you know, you're just like, I'm on PC and I play on Steam, and like, that's fine, that's what I use. But like, okay, but you get some, like, free access to a game, there's a game you're interested on, you try it, then suddenly you have this new platform that you're comfortable with and that you see a value in, and whenever you're opening it up to look or to go play that free game, you're like, oh cool, they're advertising like Hi-Fi Rush, that game looked awesome,
yeah,
I want to try Hi-Fi Rush as well, maybe I will, you know, subscribe for a month, see how it goes, and then there you go, boom, yeah. It's too late,
so
Game Pass is in you. It's like a virus. It's under your skin. Yeah. It's under your skin. Persona comes out on it, and you're like, what? And then Lies of P comes out, and you're like, what? And then Lies of P gets a DLC, and you're like, I just get the DLC for free? And then you're up at 3 a.m. being a little puppet guy running around. and then I'll pause that for our next episode.
There you go. But yeah, okay. That's my Xbox, my annual Game Pass prediction. I'm going to keep going for one of these every year, I guess, until I get it right. So ironically, this is where I scored my half point last year, too. So this is my cash cow, I guess. I'll just juice this for all the points it's worth every year.
Well, I'll go into, so I Persona every year. I don't Waluigi every year, but I might have to start. And I, the other thing I do every year is I do a game of the year prediction, because that's always fun. And I kind of slam dunked Elden Ring when it came out. It was just sort of a freebie and I took it. But I'm going to try to double dip on my slam dunking of Elden Ring. And I'm going to say that this year, 2024, will be the first year ever that a DLC wins Game of the Year, because Shadow of the Erdtree is going to take
it. Wow. That is a bold prediction. I like that. You know, it's the kind of thing that could happen. You know, it's on the table, in my opinion.
You know, it's a big DLC too. Like, it's gonna, it's like massive from how they talk about it. It's got a firm release date in June. That's plenty of time for people to play it and still, like, maybe still be playing it at the end of the year. You know, Sony's not got a big contender in the ring this year. Like, it's more Elden Ring. Like, what else can I, do I have to say about it? Like, I think it's a shoo-in.
Yeah, it could be. It depends. I don't know how they define the rules on that, or like around the DLC. I honestly couldn't tell you, but you know, there's always a few things that come out of nowhere every year, but you're right. Without Sony releasing any big games, like, you know, can you rely on Xbox? Are they actually going to release some of their games they've been talking about for years? Who knows? But, you know, who else is there to contend right now? I guess Balatro's good. I'll talk about that next week, but it's not game of the year, you know?
I'm just saying, the new Final Fantasy, maybe.
Yeah.
Is the other big one, but true. Like, man, Elden Ring just—it's Elden Ring. It's well, just Elden Ring. Come on.
True, but that's also
There's some bias points.
We'll see.
I'm putting a few bias.
I mean, that's Elden Ring is not good critical analysis. That's all I'm saying.
they haven't lost yet.
Yeah, you know what? I can see it. That's a good prediction. I would say as of right now, that's probably the one I would put money on to be the most realistic.
Mm-hmm.
But. Okay, I got a couple weird ones left for my last two. Both Nintendo-focused.
Okay.
So I'll go with the first one first, because I wanted to make a Pokemon prediction this year. Here I am. I'm feeling Pokemon, Kate. I'm feeling it. I got to get some new cards soon or something, okay? But here is my Pokemon prediction for the year. And I've gone off the board. I'm not predicting anything about a remake of some older gen. I'm not predicting anything about what the new gen is, because at this point, those are all old and tired. What I'm predicting is the next wacky Pokemon app, like Pokemon Sleep or the toothbrushing one or whatever it is.
Yeah,
I've just taken a random stab at what I think it is. It's going to be called Poke Reader, like the e-reader, you know?
Like an e-reader?
Yeah. Okay, so I don't know if I'm going to predict the name officially, but it's going to be like a learn-to-read Pokemon app for kids. And it's going to use like AR technology on your phone or your tablet or something. And what you can do is you can hold it up like over top of a book or like a piece of paper or something. Or maybe there'll be like, you know, some phrases in the app too you can read along with. But you'll sound, you can like sound the words out. And when you want help with a letter, it'll like, if it's like a C, it'll put like a Charmander face. You're like, oh, it's a C. Or like the Pokemon will help you spell. And then as you like get better at your letters and you spell the names of the Pokemon, you can like catch them. And it's very good for like spelling, because there's like 600 different Pokemon. Like, there's got to be combinations of all the different types of letters and you know, prefixes and stuff like that among all the Pokemon. You can learn a lot, and I just think it's a well that they could easily tap into. It's going to be called Poke Reader and come out sometime, or be announced sometime for your smartphone in 2024.
This sounds amazing. There is nothing that has ever made me want to be a child again than like Poke Reader, because like I distinctly remember like playing and loving Pokemon before I knew how to read, like that was just like a staple. You know how long I would have spent on Poke Reader every single day if like Charmander could help me like read whatever, like
A is for Abra, you know, like it's so perfect.
I would have learned, like, God knows we like knew all the names of the Pokemon. Like, I couldn't read like how to, you know, do anything in the game, but like I sure as fuck knew who Abra was.
exactly.
That is awesome. I hope that's true so much. And you're right. Like, they do like to have these kind of like wholesome, like, you know, brush your teeth, have good habits, or like go to bed and like get sleep points and stuff.
It's like they get companies to pitch like generic apps for wellness to them sometimes, and then just put like Pokemon skin on it and then send it out.
Yeah.
Like Pokemon Sleep, for example. That's just any sleep app, but now it's got a Snorlax, you know? Like, this is totally within the realm of something they could do.
This one I think is a little more involved. than just like, here's your generic, you know, go to sleep app. But I think it's also by far the coolest one. And like, it's my favorite prediction we've made so far.
Thank you. Thank you. I laughed out loud when I wrote this down last night, to be honest. So.
Poke e-reader. That's incredible. I wish my regular e-reader that I use every day was a poke e-reader. Yeah.
That was fun back in the day, scanning those cards.
Yeah, it was. It was a good time. I still have a couple in my binder.
That's the only that's the only one I can remember, honestly. Machop boulders.
Machop boulder. Uppercut.
You could do the uppercut or the straight jab. Okay. Anyway. Give me your next prediction.
Okay. So I was sad that Red Dead Redemption TV show isn't a thing, and I really still think it should be. Because it's just the best game that makes the most sense to be.
It would be a wicked show.
So I don't, and like, I don't know like what Rockstar does with all their time and their GTA money, but I think they should make a show. But I pivoted and said, oh, I'm not going to do that again. I'm going to predict something else getting a show. And I think what would be really cool was it would be to get a Hades animated show.
Okay.
Like Supergiant's Hades. So we got Hades 2 coming out, and like, so we know they're kind of living in this world a little more than they have with some of their other games. And I think, you know, like, yeah, it's cool. There's Fallout. Sure, there's Borderlands, whatever. But, like, imagine if there was, like, kind of, like, a animation in the same way that, like, Arcane is just that, like, god-tier level, like, best thing you've ever looked at. But it was with Hades and all, like, your cast of characters from that instead.
You're making me drool a little bit over here about this show. Oh, my It'd God. Be so cool. You know what? Out of everything we predicted, barring Persona 6, this is what I want to be real the most. Like, this sounds... I would eat that show up. Like, the Castlevania show is so good as well. Yeah. I can only imagine how cool it would be to see all these characters have more time to interact. And, you know, they're all sitting around the lounge in Hades' underworld later at night. And, like, how are they going to have a conversation, you know, like that type of stuff is fascinating to me.
It could be so good. I mean, obviously there's like a lot of room for action. I think you'd have like sitcom kind of style humor. Like imagine things are happening in like Poseidon that like complete like doorknob walks in and tries to help. And like there's so many interesting characters. Like Hades 2 is obviously going to introduce even more of that. And I feel like there's like infinite amount of material you could take and like, you know, maybe even a prequel. Like I'd love to see how, like Zagreus's parents, like, and like all like the backstory with all the gods that like we kind of get alluded to throughout the game but not get to experience, like that could make for a cool TV show. And like there's so many options, it would be so cool.
Yeah I would love to see, it'd be cool if the show would focus on like Zagreus's mom specifically and like how she came to be in her situation. I think that would be wicked. I'm in That's super cool. Okay, my last prediction. Okay, so you mentioned the Switch 2 coming out probably, I think, early next year. I mean, it seems like everyone's talked about it forever, but it really does seem like it's coming next year. There seems to be, like, you know, the classic dev kit rumor type stuff going on, all that, whatnot. So I'm going to say we do learn about the Switch 2 this year. There is an announcement. And I'm going to make my prediction just kind of some details around that. I think the Switch 2... we're going to call it that. I'm not going to give it a name, but it's going to be in form factor very similar to the current Switch. It's going to still use the same Joy-Cons, will be compatible. It might come with different, you know, upgraded Joy-Cons, but you'll still be able to use your existing ones. I think all your existing Switch games will still go in it. I think it'll be definitely like a very compatible system with the current features. And it'll even look quite similar, obviously different, but if you know, it's not like going to be like a radical change design-wise. The big quirky Nintendo thing they're going to do to change it, because there's always some Nintendo quirk that goes into all their systems, 3D or motion or whatever it is, will be that there's going to be an onboard AI assistant on the Switch 2. And it's going to be like, you know, in like Mega Man Battle Network, there's your little net navi in the bottom, or like when you're playing Brain Age, like Mr. Doctor whoever is like your host and he's like, you know, talking you through it. I think that the Switch 2 is going to have an onboard AI, which is going to, you know, AI is a huge trend right now. Like whether or not it's going to be around to stay or in what form it's going to be used in the future, who cares? But the point of the matter is everyone wants to get in on AI right now and have it involved in some way. So I think Nintendo will have like a fun kid-friendly way to have this AI that'll like start your system and you can kind of talk to it if you want and be like, hey, you know, start this game, or, you know, maybe it could do some kind of functionality. I don't think it'll have like a ton of generative. It's not going to be like ChatGPT or something like that. It's just going to be more like a fun, quirky assistant character to kind of make the system fun and give them a reason to say they're using an AI assistant and put that on their system.
It could do kind of stuff like how like the PS5 does, where it's like, oh, if you go to the menu when you're playing a game and it's like, oh, wait, here are like the trophies you're close to doing.
Right.
So here's like some like quick links to click on to like show you like what you're missing on getting like the rest of that trophy or something.
Sure.
Or,
like, yeah, stuff like that. Stuff like your menu, like, oh, would you like to save your game? Don't forget to like save before you close your game or something. Just mm-hmm. menus that will pop up, but it's like presented as if it's this AI guy.
Oh my god, what if it's Mr. Rossetti? Mr.
Rossetti. It could be.
He just like berates you if you stop saving your game.
Yeah. But yeah, and it won't obviously have to be voice controlled either. There'll be like a menu for it and stuff, but I think some kind of AI will come to a game console some point soon enough, and why not the new Switch for Nintendo to do something weird.
That is very interesting. That's the kind of thing where like I wouldn't associate that kind of technology with Nintendo, but you are right that they always do something very like unique and different, and so like maybe that, you know, like
yeah,
I never know, what I mean, right?
What's it gonna be? I'm really set personally, and I have no evidence, obviously I'm no gaming insider, but I'm really set on that they will want to keep it relatively similar to the current Switch because it's just so successful. You know, like Smash and Mario Kart sell so much. Why would they not want people to buy this then buy those games again? Like, you know, they have this whole online functionality now where these games all hypothetically need to be able to work in a way which they've never had that online ecosystem quite the same way before. It just kind of lines up. So something else has to change.
Yeah, I think you're right. Like it's like, you'd be almost hard pressed for them to try to come up with something that was unique and different, but like not just worse than having a Switch,
right?
Because the Switch is so like perfect in what it is.
Exactly, and they can't go back to not having it be a Switch again either. Like, what are you going to do? Advertise it? Oh, this is just a handheld now. Like,
yeah,
that's a huge downgrade, or same as the other, just the home console too. So, yeah.
Yeah, you're right. That's spicy. But then you're right. They do need something to kind of be like, but it's new and, you know.
Yeah, and it's also, and the other thing too, and then we can get onto your prediction, is this also wouldn't be, I mean, it's expensive to develop it, don't get me wrong, but it's not like every model of this new system would have to have, you know, this new hardware component to, you know, run this new camera that's using a 3D feature or something. As long as it has a powerful enough hard drive, it can run just a software program like an AI. So it's, you know, maybe a little simpler. Anyway, what's your last prediction?
So I've saved my favorite prediction I've made for last. Probably my least likely one to be true.
That's the way it goes.
That's kind of the two sides of that coin. But I have noticed a trend. And by trend, I mean I can name two games where this has happened. And therefore, it's a thing. But I have been playing a lot of Lies of P lately, and it's a fantastic game, and I love it. And every now and again, it still surprised me that it is based on Pinocchio, which is, like, bizarre.
Who could have ever predicted
that coming? And also, there is a new game out, and it is an Ebenezer Scrooge game. Have you seen this game?
I haven't, no.
Okay, so we all know Ebenezer Scrooge, obviously, a Charles Dickens character from A Christmas Carol, and he's that, like, grumpy guy who has to have, like, the ghost come to him, right? And they, like, teach him not to be a jerk, and then he has to, like, give...
It's the ghost of Christmas past, present, future.
He's that guy, exactly. So there's a game that is, like, you play as Ebenezer Scrooge, and it's, like, a platformer.
Okay.
And like a Metroidvania platformer, and like your double jump is like ghosts like push you because you jump once and the ghosts like help push you. And like they I don't think it's like to the same level of polish as something like Lies of P, but there is an Ebenezer Scrooge game, Charles Dickens. So I'm like, okay, this is like the new thing. And we've had authors, I think I talked about earlier with my Stephen King prediction, we've had some authors that have been working on video games, and we are gonna see some more like classic books turned into games. And so of course the next logical step is which game is going to be 2024's, you know,
book interpretation.
So The game I came up with first, and I was so proud of myself for this, actually already has a video game.
No way. Okay, what game?
It is Where the Wild Things Are.
There's a game for Where the Wild Things Are?
Now, it is kind of like one of those crappy movie tie-in games because there was a, like
Oh, the
2010 or like a
new Where the
somewhat
Wild Things
recent
Are.
movie. And so there is a game tie-in for that. And I felt like that was enough that I couldn't use Where the Wild Things Are anymore. Even though I thought it'd be so cool because like there's those big monsters, and if it was like kind of like Lies of P style where it was like making it really serious, like you could
Yeah.
fight them, they'd be like, you know, cool monsters, all have different like abilities to attack you. So I know I had to scrap that. I thought that was great. I was quite sad when I had to put that in the bin. But I've come up with another game, and I have one mechanic for it, and I think that alone sells the game. So the series is Beatrix Potter's Peter Rabbit.
Of course it is. Yeah, of course it is.
Beloved classic, you know, you play as this cute bunny. Graphics are so good now. He could be so fluffy.
Can I guess what the mechanic is?
You may guess what the mechanic is.
You have to press A as fast as you can to squeeze through the gate when stealing the radishes.
Okay, there's two mechanics, and one is to furiously press A to get through the gate. And the reason that you'll be so frantic to get through the gate is because of the second mechanic, and that is going to be tied to Mr. McGregor, Peter Rabbit's greatest villain. And he
Some may
is
say his only villain.
some could say. And so okay, so for anyone who doesn't know, Peter Rabbit is this like character. He's kind of like a Winnie the Poohy sort of kind of like
He's a
that
little
style of
rabbit that
character.
gets into mischief and like has to learn
He
his lesson later on.
does all sorts of mischief. He always goes to Mr. McGregor's garden and like he eats his cabbages and his carrots, and his mom always tells him not to go because Mr. McGregor will catch you and put you in a pie. But he goes anyway because he's a little greedy guts and he's quite naughty and he is always there causing trouble. Mr. McGregor is always trying to like graphically kill him. Like he tries to stab him with rakes and like all sorts of horrible stuff. And Peter always just like gets away just the skin of his teeth, but he like leaves his jacket behind and it's you know, and he's gotta go get it because his mom's gonna be mad and whatever. That's Peter Rabbit. But anyway, so Mr. McGregor is like obviously he's like this gardening man. He's way bigger than you. He's a farmer, so he's got that farmer strength. Quite a formidable foe. So I think he's gonna be like a Mr. X style character where like he is invincible. You cannot defeat him. There's no way Peter could go toe to toe with Mr. X, but he's gonna be this like constant looming presence that's like always like potentially just around the corner. And all you can do when you see Mr. McGregor coming is like try to escape as fast as possible. So it might have to have like kind of horror like elements.
Okay, I've actually set the perfect comparison to this game in my head right now. What you remember the other day when we were talking and you said that the game I was talking about was a perfect comparison of two very unrelated games?
Oh
What was
yeah.
it?
Oh, I can't remember. It
Okay.
was like a character. It was a character, and I said it was like something.
Yeah. Oh,
Oh, I can't
whatever. We'll
remember.
come to
It
it
was so
later. But
good.
anyway, this
Yeah.
game you're describing sounds like it would be perfect to me if it was a mix of the Untitled Goose Game and Little Nightmares.
That's exactly what it is. Yes, it's Untitled Goose Game. Because you just are a little shit and you
It's
cause
like,
problems and
yeah,
like eat
horror Little
cabbages.
Nightmares kind of.
But then
Interesting.
Mr. Gary was genuinely scary.
Jeez.
Yeah.
You know,
It was a character and it was Captain America. It was that guy from
oh
Helldivers.
yeah, it was the
It was Captain
Helldivers game.
America with Zap
Is that
Brannigan from
right?
Futurama.
That's a great one.
That's what it was.
God.
Yeah,
Okay,
the guy from
okay. So you're
Helldivers.
predicting a Beatrix Potter,
Peter
Peter
Rabbit
Rabbit
video
game involving Mr.
game.
McGregor as an unkillable, daunting enemy type.
Correct.
Okay, I like
You
it.
have
I like
gotten
it.
that correct.
I hope you get it correct too, but we'll see. Wow, God, that's a prediction. That's the most unhinged prediction we've ever had on this show. That's for sure. That's for
It's a
sure.
hot
It's
take for
hot.
sure.
Okay, great. Well, I guess that's going to end our little predictions section here. So maybe just for the convenience of everyone at home, we'll go through our predictions very, very quickly. I'll go first. I was saying Tsushima 2 will be announced with a new weather system, giving new options for abilities. Game Pass will change its tier system, including a new free tier system for everyone on every device. Persona 6 is coming, including being dark green with aliens and a female protagonist. Pokemon has a weird new spin-off coming called Poke Reader, which will help people learn to read by sounding out words with the sounds of Pokemon. And the Switch 2 will be announced to come out next year and have an onboard AI assistant, which helps you do various tasks with the system.
Those all sound really possible, very probable, almost guaranteed, in fact. But you've missed out these five predictions. And in fact, you got one wrong, because I said the Persona is actually purple. But I do agree there's a female protagonist. I've said that Waluigi is going to get his first game, and a core mechanic is going to be roguelike progression where you can increasingly cheat at the game. Shadow of the Erdtree will be the first DLC to win Game of the Year. All glory to Elden Ring. Hades will have an animated series announced. And finally, of course, classic novel franchise Peter Rabbit, Von Beatrix Potter, will be a new game, and Mr. McGregor is gonna terrorize everyone.
You know, as ridiculous as that sounds, this time last year, maybe the year before sitting here, we would never have predicted a Pinocchio game, especially one in the vein of Liza P. So,
and it's good. It's so good.
Ironically, this game should be called Lies of P 2. It's just Lies of Peter Rabbit.
Lies of Peter. Mr. McGregor's secretly a puppet. Mm.
That's right.
Tinfoil hats are on and ready.
Okay, everybody. Well, that's going to close us out for the show today. We'll be back in 2 weeks' time where I will let Kate know what game she'll be playing. We'll talk about some more games we've been playing. Kate obviously has a lot to say about Lies of P. I've been playing Balatro. Might talk a little bit about some Helldivers as well. We'll see. It'll be fun, though, regardless. So thank you all very much for listening. And remember, this has been Cloud Control, the podcast that's not just good, it's good enough. We'll see you on the next episode.